Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles, and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood washed away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. You have come again to that location on the internet where we talk about the real issues that men face on a daily basis. It's about being transparent, brutally honest, and biblically sound, and offering both hope and help for men. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. I'm here to sharpen my co-host, and he's here to sharpen me and you. And we're here to help each other out completely. In the studio with me today, it's been a few days. Most guys would know it because you listen usually to podcasts, and it's like you've never left.
You're right.
You know, it really is. It's like you've never left. Felix in the house with me today. Good to have you, bro. What is that? You got something wrong with your throat?
No, it's all the applause.
Oh, yeah.
It's
okay.
The applause.
Oh, sounds like a demon over the corner there trying to speak or something.
Wow.
Yeah, he looks back.
Does he have one back there?
We're going to be talking about spiritual warfare today.
Yeah.
So that always has a tendency of getting people's attention. Some of the guys who listened to you on Tuesday night, you spoke at the Band of Brothers, you talked about spiritual warfare in identity and just how the lies of the enemy and how he actually... It's a constant battle.
It is.
It's just a constant battle. The encouragement that's going to come to you guys this morning is going to be from us just talking about this sort of thing. So we're just going to go directly into it because we want to, for at least the next half dozen or whatever number of weeks, we want to talk about spiritual warfare.
Yeah.
You have a lesson that you actually... You're over in Africa for, what, 3 months?
3 months out of a year.
And your wife said, stay longer?
She said, stay 6 months. I got a lot done while you were gone.
Nikki didn't say that.
Yes, she did.
Okay. Well, hey, at least you're working for the Lord.
Amen.
You know?
Amen. And she appreciates that.
Yes.
And she says that's what's more important to her than me being underfoot around the house.
Yes, I know. Well, you know what? You're just... fulfilling your giftings that the Lord has given you to be able to reach those men and women that are preaching the word of God in Africa.
Yeah.
So,
amen.
You know, I'm glad that you were there safely. Mm-hmm. I'm sure I know you had a lot of experiences. We're not here to talk about all of that. But it's a different culture, obviously, mm-hmm. than ours.
Oh, yeah.
And so spiritual warfare is taken even differently than
ours,
how we take it.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe... In a sense, I don't want to say that we're blind to it, but sometimes we have a tendency of not paying attention to certain things, right?
Yeah, and the devil has blinded us to it.
Yes.
That's
his
job.
Yeah.
He said the best thing he can do is make you not think about him and not worry about him and not be concerned about him because you're just living your life doing your thing.
Yes, yes, yes. And
and he's in the background.
He's so good at being able to deceive and to be able to get us to think, you're right. I agree with you. Let's just put this off until next year or whatever, you know, when something comes up. Now, when it comes to spiritual warfare, the Bible talks about that in a few areas, right?
Well, it talks about it explicitly in a number of places, but implicitly, I mean, from the beginning, I mean, we're talking in the Garden of Eden.
Right.
We're not talking about way into the New Testament. Jesus has not even been manifested yet in the flesh. We're talking in the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, you know, the devil was around to seek to steal, kill, and destroy.
Yes.
I mean, that is his deal. Mm-hmm. And we know the Garden of Eden. We know the story. If you haven't read it, read the Genesis 1, where you see where God created Adam and Eve, and then you have this serpent. And you, funny thing about when you read that, you say, how long were Adam and Eve in the garden before stuff went sour?
Yeah.
You know, how long before it went south?
Yeah.
How much time did the serpent have to, as we used to say, eat up her mind and to get her to the point of deception?
Yeah.
I mean, we don't know these things, but we do know the facts that they were in the garden. It was pure. It was perfect. They had fellowship with God better than we could ever have it, because they walked with him in the cool of the afternoon, and it was, he walked with them. I mean, how do you walk with God, you know? And somehow Satan was able to come between them and God. Now, when I was over in Africa teaching, God gave me some revelation on this, on what happened. Because here's the deal. When we look at it, two things happen. One, we have two powerful things going on in our head.
Mm-hmm.
One is imagination.
Mm-hmm.
Imagination is a powerful thing. That's how man winds up creating things,
right?
Good and evil,
mm-hmm.
through imagination. I mean, that's what pornography catches. It catches our imagination,
right?
And it messes with it. So, see, God has given us this great and wonderful imagination,
mm-hmm.
and the devil knows it too. And he knows that if he can capture that imagination, he can get us where he wants to get us.
Yes.
The second thing we have, which is very important, God gave us that we're very curious.
Mm-hmm.
Curiosity. What if? What if? What if? You know, and we, and the devil's very good at filling in the blanks of what if,
mm-hmm.
what if, and he fills in the blanks.
Yes.
And so these are the things that he has used from the beginning of time to get into our heads so that he can own us.
Yes. And as a result of it, we believe it because we've been thinking like that for so long,
mm-hmm.
right? And then all of a sudden we sit there and go, oh my goodness, we become followers of Jesus Christ. And all of a sudden we become aware of the spiritual warfare that you step into an awareness when you accept him.
Right.
Right. We have a target on our back now.
Oh, yeah.
And now it becomes almost like a neon target where it says hit here, right? Type
mm-hmm.
of thing. Arrows pointing right at us.
Because we're dangerous.
Yes.
To the kingdom of darkness.
Because we were created for one thing, one
mm-hmm.
purpose. That's mm-hmm. to do God's will,
mm-hmm.
right? And
mm-hmm.
that's opposite of what the enemy wants.
Right. He wants no part of God's will done.
That's why we know that, and without getting into it, he was a fallen angel. He was one that was right there with Christ, with God, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was there.
Well, let's get into that because it's true. I mean, the Bible talks about him being a worship leader, the worship
yes.
leader.
Mm-hmm.
So he was drawing the worship of the angels to God.
Yes.
And as he drew the worship to God, he said, well, wow, I'm the one doing the drawing. Well, I should get it. You know, and sin was found in him. He was created perfect.
He was the first antagonist, you know.
The first antagonist?
Yes. He's antagonistic.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yes. Okay. Well, go ahead.
I don't use that word, but yeah.
I know. But I just...
All right. He's antagonist.
But he did. He kind of created. He got the angel saying, hey, someone said, hey, yeah, I'll come to you. Okay. Because his name was Lucifer.
Lucifer. The light bearer.
And you go to God. You tell him what we, you know, how we feel and we're going to follow you because you're the spokesman.
Yeah. And he you know, he did a great job of being a worship leader, but then he did a lousy job of being the devil.
Yeah.
Because, but you see, God knew that he was going to do this. This was not a surprise to God. God is all-knowing. God is all-present. God is all.
Mm.
So it's not like God said, oh, man, the devil's coming. I gotta react to him.
Mm.
God doesn't react to things. God knows the beginning from the end. So therefore, he knows everything that's going to happen.
Right.
And
right.
So God has placed the devil in this plan that he has. He has a plan. God has a plan, big plan. And the whole plan is to perfect us to be like him. That's the plan. The plan is,
yes.
So God must have sat down and said, well, how do I make a Felix more like me?
Mm-hmm.
Well, God, he's got to overcome the enemy. He's got to love what I love. He's got to hate what I hate.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to have my nature and my spirit and all that. So he went about creating an environment that will make me more like him.
Mm-hmm.
And the devil is part of that because I have to get victory over him. Satan came and tempted Jesus.
Yes.
Jesus had to get victory mm-hmm. over him.
Mm-hmm.
So if Jesus had to get victory over him and we're supposed to be like Jesus, we've got to get victory over
mm-hmm.
him. And so the devil serves a purpose. He serves a purpose for me and you and every man and woman to get victory over every day. Because, see, in the future, we have to have that victory. There has to be, the next time we're in the Garden of Eden and a serpent comes, we step on him instead of listening to him.
But unfortunately, or in a sense, the way that the enemy has actually prepared it, is that sin is cloaked in things that are tasty, things mm-hmm. that you desire, things that you sit there and go, oh, this is perfect. It's comfort. And, you know, and little do we realize that all of a sudden we're caught in a trap, really is what it comes down to. And, but he deceived us.
Yeah.
Okay. Just like he deceived Adam and Eve.
Yeah.
Okay. He deceives us. We think, okay, this is the way I should go because that looks, this is it.
Mm-hmm.
Here it is. This is the brass ring that I'm actually going to mm-hmm. receive. And as a result of that, we end up finding ourselves sometimes in the muck and mire pretty quick.
Oh, guaranteed. Because, you know, there's those three things that John talks about, and it's the same thing that happened in the garden: the lust of the eye,
mm-hmm.
the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the three things that he works with. And he is so good at manipulating those three things because those are the things that are near and dear to us.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the Bible says, if you love the world,
that's right.
the love of the Father is not in you.
Right.
Because the loving in the, that's our problem. When we love the world, mm-hmm. those are the things in the world. And the devil controls those things
yes.
that are in
yes.
the world.
Yes.
So when he controls the things that are in the world, and he can control us.
And so often, guys, we, especially as men, we get confused. We think that, I mean, we totally get confused on this. I can't tell the difference.
Yeah.
Well, the difference is your relationship with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
The more that you abide in him, he'll abide in you. And when there is light in you, guess what's not there?
Right. No darkness.
And as a result of that, what ends up taking place, men end up all of a sudden realizing, okay, I've got a choice. And then all of a sudden you start looking at the things that don't fit anymore in your life, right?
Right.
Oh, wait a minute. I really used to enjoy this.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not that harmful, mm-hmm. was it?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Because
that sometimes will set us back, and all of a sudden it's kind of like a slippery slope.
Right.
You know?
And that's where identity comes in.
Mm.
That's where the identity comes in. See, Christ makes us a new creature. The old has passed away. The old really is the old stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All that old stuff, mm-hmm. all my old junk, all my old sin, all my old habits, all of that needs to go.
Mm-hmm.
If I have an alcohol problem before I get saved, God doesn't want me to have an alcohol problem after I get saved.
That's
okay?
Right.
He wants
That's
to set me free of that. And until we come to the conclusion that, hey, as a child of God, as a prince in the kingdom of God, I'm not supposed to be controlled by anything. Paul talks about that. He says, all things are legal for me to do, but all things are not expedient for me to do, and I'll not be bought under the power of anything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the key. See, these things that the devil comes up with have power over us,
mm-hmm.
and they keep us from living a holy life.
Now, they end up getting power over us because we actually let our guard down.
Oh, yeah. We
have a job to do. We just say, hey, God, if you want me changed, just change me.
Yeah, right? Magic wand.
Yeah. Yeah. All of a sudden, boom, home. Look at me. I'm a new guy. I kind of like it, you know? But that's not the way it works.
No.
He's given us free will.
Yes. And he doesn't come against that.
He wants us to desire him.
Amen. Of our own free will.
Okay. So when it comes down to the spiritual warfare, sometimes I don't think it's any different than trying to get rid of or things you become aware of in your life. I think there has to be enough pain to where it's going to cause me to make a change sometimes.
Well, most of us are like that, and that's a shame it has to be that. But you know what?
Whap!
You know,
the head.
Yeah. You know, somebody once said nobody gets saved unless they really tired of being a sinner, you know, because you have to make the choice of turning from this to that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you have to either get through the pain process or the love process.
Yes.
See, if you can get a revelation of the love of God and what he did by sending Jesus down to set us free, if you can get that revelation of love, because we're all made for love, right? We're not made for pain. We're made for love. The devil keeps us in pain so that we will medicate our pain.
Yes.
Okay? So that keeps us focused on the pain and not on God and his love. What we keep our eyes on is what we can become. But if we're looking at our sin, we're looking at our failures, we're looking at all that, we're in the muck and the mire, and we stay in the muck and the mire. When we look to Jesus and say, you know, you got a way out of this thing for me, and I trust and I believe you, and I've seen Raul go through it, I've seen Felix go through it, I've seen other people do it. Mm-hmm. I want that, God. Yeah. I want that. And then you grab onto the lifeline. And then the love overwhelms, because perfect love overwhelms the pain and the fear. Mm-hmm. But us guys, man, we get into a trap of not wanting to admit that we need help.
Yes.
You know, not wanting to surrender, mm-hmm. and say, God, I can't do this. I'm through. You know, and that's what it means to die to self. Mm-hmm. It means to die to your own power to live your life, because you don't have the power to get yourself free.
Well, see, right there, the word power, that for us guys, we sit there and think, okay, it's a matter of me working out a little bit more and being able to maybe take some classes for self-defense, and I'll get ready for the spiritual warfare, when it has nothing to do with that.
No.
Right? Has nothing to do with that. Has everything to do with the simple fact of surrendering.
Mm-hmm.
In my relationship, my communication, prayer,
mm-hmm.
with our Lord.
Right. Because he has the power.
And it's only his power, right?
And we cannot defeat the devil by ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot, because of how he is the controller of these things in the world that we desire.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as he has control of the things that we desire, he has control over us.
Mm-hmm.
So we are powerless to defeat him, because we keep going back and drinking at the same well. Is it? And so you can forget about defeating the devil. You can forget about getting free of your drugs and alcohol. You can forget about all that until you get the power of God, mm-hmm. to take you through it and to help you through it. But you've got to cooperate with God.
Yes.
God doesn't come with the magic wand and say, poof, you're it. He says, here is the ability to be new. Yeah. You have the ability. I want you to walk with me. I want you to talk with me. I want you to read my word. Mm-hmm. I want you to sing praises to me. I want you to hang out with guys that love Jesus. Mm-hmm. I want you to do the things that will help you become more like me.
Yes.
But you know, we've got to make that move. I mean, it's not, and like you say, some of us, until we just get sick and tired of getting sick and tired and just bouncing on the bottom of the barrel, so, you know, and just a few times we've got lumps on our heads,
yes.
you know, it's like, you know, how many times do I go around this mountain and see this over and over and over?
And we've actually complicated this relationship with our Lord, and which complicates everything else. We look at spiritual warfare saying, oh, I'll leave that for Felix and Raul and Pastor Grant, Pastor Bob, and all of these other pastors, because they're closer to God. They can deal with this sort of thing. Or there are special people that can do that. No, we're all equipped to be able to take care of the task at hand.
Yes.
That's what we're equipped. But we complicate it because we think, because of our shortcomings, our defects of character,
mm-hmm.
the way that we've been, the way that we've looked at ourselves, the way that we've actually, and you talked about it the other night, in our identity, how we, others saw us a certain way, and that's what we took on.
Yeah.
That's the way I must be.
Yeah.
I must be clumsy.
Yeah.
I must be a good for nothing. So I'm just going to live that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so a person will go sometimes their whole life that
way. Oh, yeah.
Okay? But that's where I think Jesus really just wanted to make it simple.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even his commandments, right? He says, mm-hmm. hey, just love me above all things, first and foremost, above all things. And then it surprised everybody that the second commandment was just like it,
mm-hmm.
to love others as you love yourself, as you care for yourself. Love others the way you care for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. You keep those two. All the commandments will fall underneath both those categories.
That's right.
That's
simple.
It. Yeah, it's too simple. But we want to but it's a little different because, see, she was really my cousin's best friend and all of, you know, all these sort of things. And they said just to come over and to do this. And, you know, we complicate it because we desire that fleshy lust, that stuff that sits there and it's like candy.
And it makes you feel good for a hot second.
And that's it. And after that, you sit there and you feel guilty. You go, okay, I need something else to be able to not feel guilty about. Right?
Yeah.
alcohol works there. Some drugs work there. Oh, yeah, the medicinal marijuana. That works.
Yeah.
It's now legalized in some areas. Yeah. And
that next woman.
It just goes on.
You know?
Oh, yeah, can't forget that. Oh, this one's better than that last one.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so we end up getting to that place of even giving up completely.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Where you'll be willing to take your own life as a result of it, because you can't handle it, can't deal with it.
And you know, sometimes depending upon who it is, that's not a bad place to be. But for some people, you've lost all hope. You see, the people that know Jesus and are frustrated with themselves, the devil can even get them to the point of wanting to commit suicide. Because, you know, the next life is better than this life. I won't have the temptations in the next life that I have this life. I won't have the pain that I have in the next life, in this life. And so we look to escape our situation. But God wants us to be victorious. Mm. God doesn't want us to be escapes artists. Yep. Yep. He's given us power to get victory over right. the enemy and over our flesh. Yes. And we've got to be willing to do that, because only if we do that will we be worthy of the kingdom of God. Mm. See, losers, in reality, if you submit to the devil and wind up going to hell, you've lost.
Yes.
You know. But as long as you seek Jesus, keep your eyes on Jesus, hold on to Jesus, you can make it, because his power, he has the power and authority to get you through anything.
That's right.
But it starts up here. It's yeah. as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Mm-hmm. And so we have got to change our thought processes and what we think about. The Bible talks explicitly about what we're supposed to be thinking about. We're not supposed to be thinking about looking up that woman's dress. Mm-hmm. We're not supposed to be thinking about how high I can get. I'm not supposed to be thinking about the pain.
Yes.
I'm not supposed to be thinking about the negative stuff. I've got to put my eyes on Jesus through the Word of God.
Oh, Felix, you make it sound so easy.
It's simple, but it's not easy. You see, because again, we've got an enemy.
Yes.
The reason why it's not easy, because you got an enemy.
Yes.
And if we don't acknowledge that that enemy is trying to keep us from getting there, then we'll never get there.
Yes.
Because
yes.
there's an obstacle course that he's set up for you. And how you go, you got to say, hey, in order to get from here, I've got to get there. But it's the easy thing is this. And it is easy after you're on the other side.
Yes.
It's easy for me, because I've seen both sides, and I look back and say, dang, that was easy.
Yeah.
But it's not easy to see, when the Bible says.
Let's take a break. You're rolling.
Yeah.
Hold that roll. Mm, mm. You got it?
I got it.
Okay. So we're going to take a break, just a short break. We're going to come back. We're going to continue talking about this sort of thing and what it is that, why is it that we get so needing to know how to deal with all of it? We'll be right back. You're listening to Band Brothers Radio.
Ah, the brisk days of winter. It's cold enough in the hills that the trout are already tap dancing. But it's warm and cozy in my kitchen, and my nose is in the wind with the tantalizing aroma of a Hempler's ham in the oven. Serve with some mashed potatoes and cornbread on the side, and you're talking about pure heaven. Now, I know some of you are worried about additives and nitrates and such. Some of you are as nervous about that as a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs. But here's the thing. Hempler's makes it very easy to eat healthy. Choose an all-natural Hempler's ham. These hams have no nitrate, and they're completely free of phosphates, artificial color, and other chemical preservatives, just like Mama used to bake. To order any of the delicious Hempler's meats online for your family, go to Hempler's.com.
A little disappointed with your current internet provider? Perhaps it's time to check out StarTouch Broadband Services. StarTouch is the Pacific Northwest's largest high-speed wireless internet provider, serving residential, business, and government entities in several Northwest states. With StarTouch, there are no latency issues, and there's no limit to the number of users. Find out more about how StarTouch can benefit you. And get a free quote at StarTouch.com. StarTouch, serving the Northwest since 1998.
Owners and managers of businesses are always looking for a good way to spread the message about their product or service. Well, we invite you to try advertising on our talk shows here at faithplace.org. We have very engaged listeners, and we keep the cost of advertising super low. When you partner with us, you'll receive a commercial on each one of our shows, Band of Brothers Radio, The Debbie Chavez Show, and The Carolyn Merriman Show. And when you advertise with us, you'll not only help your business, but you'll be helping this ministry continue on. We're so excited to hear from listeners all around the world who are being inspired to put their trust in Jesus Christ. For more information about advertising on our talk shows, simply email info@faithplace.org. Yep, that's info@faithplace.org.
It's all an illusion, a 21st century institution. So I'm headed down the open road.
Okay, welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio, and Felix in the studio with me today. And you know, we're talking about spiritual warfare, and you were on a little roll here. Do you remember where you were at?
Nope.
you said you were going to keep that.
Yes, I did. Okay.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, yeah. Whatever. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I tell you what. It's all good. It's all good.
Here's what I was saying. You know, the whole thing of being alive. See, the when it talks about the pride of life,
yes.
Let's deal with these three: the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, pride of life. But lust of the eye is pretty easy, you know. Pornography will get you. As I told the guys last night, I even found that beautiful cars are pornography for me, and I had to put a damper on it. And you say, well, how can cars? You can lust after anything.
Yes.
See, it's the lust, the inordinate affection for something or somebody. Okay? So it's the lust of the eye. Mm-hmm. And so you see it, you want it, you got to have it. Mm-hmm. Okay? And that's part of our makeup, right? Mm-hmm. And so the devil exploits that. Okay?
Yes.
Yeah. The lust of the flesh. Eating, drinking, you know, doing all the things that satisfy my five senses, okay? Mm-hmm. Yeah, touch, you know, smell, all that stuff is what is we're indulged in,
right?
And overindulging in these things and keeping our eyes on these things and desiring these things is what gets us in trouble. And then is the pride of life. This is the most important one. Why? Hmm. Because in Christianity, you've got to die to live.
Yep.
You've got
yep.
to die.
Yep.
So that means I've got to die to all this stuff that I like, that I love, that I want. I need to die to that. And we don't want to die. We want to have God and have all the other stuff, too. And that's where we get into trouble, because until I'm willing to die to myself—
Yes.
And my desires and my will, am I able to live a life for God?
And that's how we end up as even as kids, little kids playing on the playground. Here's Felix has his basketball and comes to play basketball with us, but then he doesn't like the way things are going, so he takes his basketball and goes home. Now we can't play.
That's right.
So all of a sudden now for my life, I'm sitting there going, I need to be able to get my own basketball.
That's right.
And I'm going to get my own team, and I'm going to be able to put it. I'm going to put it in a stadium, in a coliseum. And I'm going to. So you strive for all these things because Felix took his basketball home when I was a kid one time.
Right.
Now, you might think that's a crazy idea or a crazy analogy, but it's not.
No,
it's how we are affected. We sit there and we go, "Hey, I want what I want." He wanted what he wanted. He took it. So I want to be able to do the same thing, because look at the way that he lives. He's got his dad. They really have a nicer house, or you know, whatever it is,
right?
Because it's really that lust of desiring something somebody else has, right?
Yeah.
And as a result of that, we end up making decisions based on those experiences that we grew up with. Sometimes,
yeah. Oh, some of the most devastating wounds that we have come from childhood, because they've never been dealt with, and they just festered, and they just grow with us as we grow, and they manifest, and the devil exploits them, because that's why when a child gets molested at a young age, it destroys their whole sexual ability later on. Devil knows this, so what does he try to do? He tries to get those situations where he ruins our lives from the beginning, so he'll always have something to go and push a button, and we'll be dysfunctional dysfunctional. Mm-hmm. And so we have got to get healed from these wounds, right, because the devil is a liar. God will heal us from, right, all the things that happened to us as a child.
Right.
God will heal that.
And, you know, a big part of this is that, as Felix had mentioned earlier, that, you know, these are the things that we need to put behind us. Paul talks about it, too. He says, put these behind you and put your focus on Jesus, okay? But here's what you have to do. Seriously, you have to acknowledge that these things took place, especially if you have knowledge of them. You have to go digging, okay? They're there on the surface, okay? They're just right there underneath there. You need to be acknowledge them, be able to go through the process in the sense of really knowing that God forgives you if you ask for forgiveness or whatever, or to be able to forgive others, which is I mean, the Sermon on the Mount is where it's all at.
Yes,
all
Raul, but I can't do it.
You're right. You can't do it. That's why you need Jesus. And that's the biggest part, is that's back to that surrender and submission to him. I don't like my life. I don't like the way it is. I'm ready to take it. Wait a minute. Have you given it to Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
Let's give it one last shot here. Why don't you give your life to Jesus?
Yeah.
Let him run it. Let him take care of it. But why don't you just submit and let's go through that process of giving that to him each and every day, one day at a time, 1 hour at a time, each and every day, whatever it takes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jesus he's actually made it, again, so clear for us. He sent his apostles, the writers in the Bible, especially in the New Testament. Paul and Peter, they talk about it all over the place, about submitting to him.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus even said, hey, there's many things that I do, but you're going to do things even greater than what I've been doing.
Yeah.
Now, you may sit there and go, gosh, what does that mean?
Well, see, Jesus didn't have a radio program.
Well, yeah, he did, but it was a different type of radio program.
Yeah, but I mean, he didn't touch as many people as some of the communications that we have now.
Yes,
you know, so
right.
We can do greater things than he did because he lives inside of us.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And as a result of it, he's still teaching. He's still living in you. He can. And he does.
Yeah.
You know, if you have this relationship with him, he's there, brother.
Yeah.
So anyway, back on to all of this. And our conversation, some guys might be sitting there saying, when are you guys going to start talking about spiritual warfare? Let me just slap you across the face here a couple times. Drink the coffee. Have a sip of coffee here or whatever it takes. This is spiritual warfare.
That's right.
Everything that we do.
That's
why Paul talks about that we need to be aware of what's going on around us. We need to be able to sense that, hey, have the discernment that, you know, I see something rustling in the brush over there, and that could be the enemy,
mm-hmm.
you know. But everything that we do, our conversations, who we talk with, where we spend time, how we spend time, what we do with our money, where we go and you know, what everything that we do in life has something to do with spiritual warfare.
Yeah. And when we don't realize it, that's really the problem, because we don't realize that the enemy is there in the background manipulating us to do the negative stuff that we do, giving us mm-hmm. the opportunities, exploiting our weaknesses and our wounds and our hurts. We don't realize that. We just think we're just living our life.
Yes.
Brother, you are not just living your life. There's a war in the heavenlies for your eternal soul, and you're in the midst of it, and you're in control actually of which way it will go. You are the rudder.
Yes.
You will either go one way or the other, and it's up to you. And God will not. He will not come against your sovereignty. He gives us the will, because he has a will. He gives us the sovereignty, but he has to say, just like Jesus. Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. Devil came to him.
Mm-hmm.
He sweated like drops of blood. He said, that cross is not, I'm not looking forward to this.
Yes.
His flesh said, I'm not looking forward to this. But what he said, not my will,
mm-hmm.
but yours be done, Father. If I could weasel my way out of it, I probably would, because I'm human.
Well, for
dude.
A moment there, in his humanness, he said, take this cup from me.
Yeah.
But then in a splecken, he actually said, no, your will be done.
That's right.
And he knew he had to go through it, because it was prophesied that way. See, Jesus is God.
Mm-hmm.
The only way we could get to know God is through Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Because if he didn't come down here as a man, we'd be sitting there thinking, oh, there's this force out there, and
sun,
you know,
maybe
whatever.
We'll worship the sun. You know?
Exactly. But the simple fact is that Jesus died for us. God sent his son that he loves.
And he overcame. He overcame the devil in every opportunity. When the devil came at him, he had victory.
We're going to talk. We're going to take our second break here, and then we're going to come back. And I want to talk about what Jesus used when he had this challenge with the enemy. Okay, when the enemy started showing him all these things of the world, what was going, what his number one weapon was. And we're going to talk about that. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Help us reach more men with hope and biblical wisdom. Spread the word about Band of Brothers Radio at faithplace.org.
If you've been helped by Band of Brothers Radio, the Debbie Chavez Show, or the Carolyn Merriman Show, there's a super easy way, totally painless way, for you to help our talk show ministry continue. All you have to do is link your Fred Meyer or Kroger or Amazon account to our nonprofit ministry, which is called Great Awakening Productions. To find out how to do that, just click on the purple donate button on our podcast websites. Scroll down and find out how to link your Amazon account, your Kroger account, or your Fred Meyer account to Great Awakening Productions. Then every time you shop, those retailers will donate a small percentage to our ministry. It's that easy. Thank you for partnering with us.
And I follow.
Back to Band Brothers Radio, and that song is one of the songs that we sing every week at Band of Brothers. That's just as reminders that, and we do it from our knees, and that's back to that submission and everything.
Yeah.
Now, I mentioned about when Jesus was tempted. Mm-hmm. Okay, Jesus was on the had come back. Okay, John the Baptist had told everybody that there's someone coming. And whose sandals he doesn't even deserve to tie them. Okay, Jesus came and was baptized in water. Okay, and after his baptism is where he was now went and was tempted.
Yeah,
went into the wilderness.
Yeah.
For 40 days.
Yeah,
fasting.
Yeah,
and being tempted.
Yeah,
we don't even want to think about fasting for 40 days, much less. For a meal, and then being tempted. Oh, I can't handle it. I have to do this now. Whatever. I mean, that's just the way
the lust of the flesh.
That's it. But Jesus overcame this temptation or these challenges that were thrown at him by the devil.
Right.
Through his
speaking word. The word of God, and the fact that the lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life weren't in him.
Yeah,
he didn't have those desires. We have those desires. So when the devil comes at us,
well,
he's got the hook.
Here's Jesus fasting all this time, right?
So he should have been hungry.
So he should have been hungry. The devil knew that. So the devil said, turn these stones into loaves of bread.
Right. So
you can eat, you know, because you know you're hungry, you know. And you sit there and we get that same way. Oh, you know, I should eat right now. I got to eat, you know, because if I don't eat, I could just
die.
Yeah. And we try to make light of it, but it's funny because that's how we are, okay? The enemy does the same thing with us, right?
Right.
So anyway, but he, again, uses the word of God to overcome or, you know, get him to flee, I think, you know?
Yeah, because he knew the power of the word of God.
Yes.
When we believe the word of God, as our pastor says, the place of agreement is the place of power.
Yes.
And when we come into agreement with what God says and we believe it and we act on it, it's powerful.
Yes.
And so that Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, you know? So, I mean, he knew he knew what was important.
Mm-hmm.
Eating bread is not as important as the bread of life. So Jesus countered him. It was a duel. You know, the devil tried to throw some stuff at Jesus. Jesus threw stuff back at him. And when he finished, the devil had to get beat feet. He had to go. because he said, I can't get no victory in this guy. Yeah. So I'll come back later. I'll catch him in the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, when he's weak and he's really sweating blood. I'm going to get him, you know.
Well, even during this, in the story, as it talks about the temptation of Jesus, I believe that those segments didn't happen one right after the other. Like he, you know, would turn these rocks into stone, and then he went over and said, come up here, Jesus, up to the hill. You can have all of this if you want, if you desire. I believe there's space in between there. I think this is what took place within that 40 days, would you say?
Well, some theologians feel that, that this was really in the mind of Jesus, that he came to tempt him in his mind, that this was a supernatural thing. Mm-hmm. This was not like they physically went to the pinnacle of the temple or physically went here or physically, but it was a mental thing that had to be dealt with in the mind, because that's the battlefield.
Yes.
That's what we've got to deal with in our mind. That's why the Bible says, take captive
every thought.
Every thought, not one or two of them.
Every.
Every thought. And we don't do that. Mm-hmm. We play with thoughts that we should never play with. Mm-hmm. And so Jesus didn't do that. He didn't play with thoughts. And we've got to learn how to take control of our mind. But the thing is that when it really comes down to, though, it comes down to perfect love, because if we can get a revelation of the perfect love, and that's why I believe that Jesus had to go the way he went. I mean, remember, they were cutting heads off back then. It was John had his head cut off, you know, people. So they could have cut Jesus's head off, you know, but he had to go through the worst possible way of dying.
Yes.
To prove to us, there's no doubt in your mind, because when we see the movie that Mel Gibson did, the other one about the life of Christ, we see that the blood and the abuse and just the what he went through, and he did it for us.
Yes,
he did it for us. This was the way that God said, "I'm going to show you how much I love you." And see, we don't, you know, the Bible says, "Perfect love casts out all fear." And that's what we have a problem with. Most of us live our lives in fear, fear of this, fear of that, fear of the other thing. You know, so we have all these fears that the devil manipulates all the time: fear of not looking good, fear of not having this, fear. And it's a terrible thing. And then fear. How do we lash out from fear? Control. We want to control our environment so that we will not be fearful, because we can control the outcome. You can't control any outcomes, but these are all tricks of the devil.
Right.
This is spiritual warfare in our lives on the practical level.
And so often we sit there and we even we know that Paul talks about it to Timothy. He says, flee the evil desires of youth. Okay. 2 Timothy 2:22. And he mentions that. And that doesn't just apply just to youthful.
No.
It applies because even as men that are experienced, like you and I, we've been here for six decades plus, right? And so we have a lot of experience in a sense. But as a result of that, we still think sometimes like we're only two decades old.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
That's how we think, you know? But if we tried to go out on a field, on a football field, and do what we used to do back when we were two decades old, we get
last for 5 minutes.
Yes. maybe if we could even talk each other into going out on the field and doing that sort of thing. But the simple fact is that it once again, we are required to flee.
Yeah,
don't give it any. Take captive that thought, and don't even mess around if you're in a situation that is. questionable, where you know that it stinks, like it's going to go someplace dirty, in a sense. I need to turn and get away from there.
And that's how we defeat it, by getting away from it.
Yes.
Look at Joseph and Potiphar's wife.
Yes.
Perfect example of it. Yeah. He had his clothes ripped off as he ran away from this woman who desired him and wanted to make him sin.
Yes.
Most of us, I remember when I was teaching on this in Africa, they all laughed when I translated it because they said they couldn't have made it out the room. These were pastors, and they were being real, you know.
Yeah.
A woman's pulling on me, a beautiful woman.
Yeah.
How am I going to leave her?
Yeah.
You know, we got to die to our fleshly desires.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't die to them, the devil will use them against us, and he will eventually destroy you, because that is his plan. And as long as he can come and get me to do the deeds that he loves, Because if you're saved, you're too saved to enjoy sin. Mm-hmm. And you're too sinful to enjoy your salvation. And right. So you are miserable.
Yes.
That's the case of most people. They are miserable because they can't, they're betwixt and between.
And I think part of one of the major things that takes place in this is that we actually give attention to what the enemy is saying.
Mm-hmm.
We forget that everything that comes from him are lies. We may say that, I know it's the enemy speaking to me, but he's got my attention. Here's the analogy. If you're married or you have a girlfriend and you happen to be near a store that happens to be a jewelry store and she happens to love jewelry, what woman doesn't like jewelry? It's beautiful. It's glitters and, you know, just
lust
pretty.
Lust of the eye.
Yes, lust of the eye, right? Okay. But they love it because they love beauty, right? Mm-hmm. So they sit there and go, oh, look at this. You're looking in the window. And then all of a sudden the salesperson kind of walks up and asks, hey, would you like to take a look at that? You know, let me show you something here or anything, whatever. Can I help you? No, we're just looking. You can look all you'd like. Look all you'd like. Here, let me just open this up. Which one were you looking at? I'm just going to put it out here so you can actually just feel it and touch it. And let me tell, and then also before you know it, she's explaining what it, oh, this is the da 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 da. And now you're looking at your wife or a fiance or your girlfriend and sitting there going, man, why is she doing all of this? I don't have that kind of money. Well, you know what? Nobody's thinking about money right now except you. They're looking at the beauty of this thing, right? And now, you see, what was a lure, all of a sudden now she's putting this on. What do you think about this, how this looks on me, you know? Oh, this is so beautiful. Oh, and then you see her eye. You see how she's going to sit there and give you anything you want if you so buy this for her, right?
And then you ask, how much does it cost?
Yeah.
Is there a payment plan?
You know, we can make this affordable for you.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And are you working right now? Yes, I am. I got a job.
See, well, that's why I never take my wife to jewelry stores, brother.
Example. Same thing with guys. Okay? Mm-hmm. Our car's being repaired or getting an oil change. Right next door is a brand new dealership.
Ooh.
You go over and look at the cars.
Yeah, a new truck.
Guy walks up and starts to talk to you. Hey, you like that truck? Here. It's unlocked. Go ahead, just feel free to help yourself look in there. He lets you have your way around that thing. You're in there for about 10, 15 minutes because you got another half hour before your car's ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
Before you know it, he's got you maybe driving that thing. Say, let's take it for a little drive, see what you think.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm not looking for a car. Well, what do you have? Because I can certainly use that to sell and you know, it'd be a good trade-in.
Yeah. You know how to do that.
Okay, all of this stuff. That's all part of what the enemy does.
Sure.
But the key is not to go walking on the lot.
Right.
Stay off the lot. Don't even go there. Because you may think, oh, there's nobody around. I'll go out there now.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. You might think, oh, I'm strong enough to be able to go. Yeah. I can go. I can handle it.
Yeah.
I can. That's the biggest thing. We dabble with sin thinking that we can control it. Just one drink. I'll go talk to her. I remember one time when I was, I was a pastor. I went to have a one-on-one Bible study in this woman's house. Don't do that. It was the grace of God that kept me because it just so happened I love Jesus more than I love this woman, you know? So we got into a Bible study and the anointing came. And I wasn't thinking about nothing bad, Jack. I left there in amazement of what God can do.
You know, this is a start of many more shows that we're going to be doing here through the next 6 to 8 weeks, whatever, talking on spiritual warfare specifically.
Yeah.
Know this. Go to James chapter 4, verse 7. This is how you resist the enemy.
Yeah.
You submit to God
first. That's first.
Submit to God. Then resist the devil's work.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing so, then he will flee from you.
Amen.
So
that's
but
a
we
promise.
Need him. And that's
a promise.
The Lord's power that we need. That's the stuff that we need to.
We'll talk about that whole thing of submit to God.
Because, we are?
Yes, we'll talk about that maybe next week.
You're going to forget all about that.
No, you'll email me.
Okay. How about praying for our brothers
and sisters? All right. Father, I thank you that you give us the victory if we will align ourselves with you. Lord, I ask you to touch anybody listening to this program that they would know that they can have victory over every area of their lives if they put their trust and their hope in you. Lord, let them learn how to die to themselves to be able to live for you. It's impossible to live this life for you without dying to ourselves. So give them, oh God, the revelation of your love so that they can walk in the fullness of it and have victory in every area of their life. We thank you for this because you give it to us. In Jesus' name, amen.